So like I said, I'm Toby. I know a lot of guys are new, some new people in here. You don't have to recognize yourself as an alcoholic or an addict or anything. And here you guys are all children of God, you know, so just say it however you want to spray it, you know. So this is going to be hard for me. I haven't did this in a while, and I'm not sure what to do. I'm supposed to be talking about recovery, so that's why I asked that question. And for me, the key to my recovery was getting with God. You know, He saved me so many times, and you know, and I knew it. I knew that He saved me a lot of times, and I always turned my back on Him. And this time, I didn't. You know, God. When you pray, I pray for other people, right? I manage the 13th step house, so there's 40 some guys there at all times, and everybody's, there's no monopoly on sobriety when it comes down to it. People get sober, say they had a heart attack, and they never pick up the pipe again. Say something bad happens, you know. Some people can do it on willingness, you know, just sheer willpower. People like me, I need a number of things, but it started with God. You know, it started with Jesus, started recognizing what the things He did for me and the path that I'm supposed to go down. So I got saved August 19th of 2018, and my sobriety date is January 27th of 2019. So just because I had God in my life didn't mean I was going to get it. You know, I didn't understand. I could hear Him talking to me, but I couldn't always make it out because I was still selfish and self-centered. I still wanted stuff my way. And the quickest way I could get it, that's the way I wanted it. You know, and that's how I believe most of us. You know, that's why we're in the rooms. That's why we're trying to change our lives, because you can only do it for so long. There's an end to the road of an addict, an alcoholic, to everything we do, to a thief, to a rapist, to a killer. I mean, there's always the end of the road. And what's great about being an alcoholic or an addict is we're the only people on the planet that get to live two lives. You know, we've lived the dirty, we've lived the nasty, and we can live it all over again. We can start back from square one where God originally planned us, you know, if we truly surrender. And in that surrender, and we start praying every day, we pray for God's willingness. You know, that's what I had to do, was pray for God's willingness and for God to do God's will every day. And He gave me willingness, and it was to change my life. You know, I got into sobriety a year and a half before I got sober. You know, I got saved, and I didn't get it because I wasn't praying every day. I wasn't understanding what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to quit fighting. I fought everything, you know. If there was a rule, there was something I had to do, I was going to show you I don't have to do it. And if there was something you said I couldn't do, I was going to make sure I did it. You know, and that's how I was my whole life. You know, that's why I've been in jail 36 times or 32 times, too many times. I don't even know the number. I've been in jail in a couple different states, you know, and thank God I haven't been for about 5 years, I think, you know. And that was probably just luck. I just didn't get caught, you know, but I should be in jail. I should never probably be out of jail with everything I've ever did. But God had different plans for me. And it was crazy, the plans that He made for me. I never thought I'd be managing a halfway house, you know, and trying to give direction to somebody that was just as lost as me at one point in my life. I'm a welder and a fabricator. I'm a factory rat. I don't sit behind a desk and make phone calls to cops and judges and, you know, it's like total, my life has flopped, you know, and it all began with Jesus answering my prayers, answering people's prayers that loved me. You know, they weren't originally my prayers. Originally, this was my big lie. You know, I tell everybody, I'm going to get sober someday, and I'm going to straighten up my act. I'm going to get right with God, and I'm going to become a good person. And that was just something I told you guys to keep you off my back. You know, one more, I'm sorry. You know, I'm going to change my life. I just want to do this for a little bit longer. The longer would have probably kept happening if I didn't burn every bridge, if people didn't catch on to my scam. You know, there was a lot of people that enabled me throughout my life. I lived with my mom off and on, more on than off. It was either my mom's or jail's until I was in my 40s. You know, and I get to thinking. When you do that fourth step, see, I needed a 12-step program. God sent me, when I got with him, he said, you need a 12-step program. Because I originally started with just God, and I didn't listen to his will of get to a house with a program. You know, I needed more than that because I got into the Bible and I used Romans. And the sin within me was my excuse for what I did. You know, I used the Bible to my advantage or my downfall. And inevitably, everybody stopped. You know, I was on my own. I was living under the Wall Street Bridge for a stint. And I almost liked it. It's a horrible thing, but I lived under that bridge for a little bit. And the lights off there, I was like, this is where it's at. You know, I come from a small town. I've never been in the big city. There's so much chaos I could do in this town. You know, when I'm in my town, I'm the only bad person there. I come to this town, it's full of us. You know, so they're not just looking at me, they're looking at y'all. You know, I can hide behind you. I'm like that. You know, I didn't do that. Who's that guy over there? But, so, you know, and then I don't know what it was. I was under the bridge and I actually, I was saved and everything. And I had a Bible that I was looking to manipulate. And I even told somebody they needed to sell all their stuff and walk around in the desert. You know, you know, you think you're so good, you know. But recovery for me started with that, praying to God, and he gave me a willingness that was different than anything I ever felt. It was the willingness to put up with them things that I was unable to ever accept or tolerate in my life. You know, rules. I had to go to bed at 11. I'm grown. How's somebody going to tell me to go to bed at 11? What time do I got to get up? What, I can't have my cell phone? You know, and God said, you don't even need any of that. You know, I knew that what I needed was to just shut up and listen and quit fighting everything. You know, I went to the step house and I got booted out. And now I'm the manager there. You know, that's how quick we can turn. And that was, you know, I came back with a whole new, I attacked it. You know, my first 10 days I said, I don't like this. I came back and didn't like it again. Can you believe it? And I said, I don't know what to do. I'm thinking of going to Donnie's program. I'm going to go the religious way. You know, maybe the 12-step thing ain't for me. And the guy said, bring it up as a topic. So I said, I'm thinking of going the religious way. And there was about 38 people in there. And they all said the same thing except one person. One person said, go religious. And God's will was in there talking to everybody else. And they said, don't. This guy needs more than that. He needs, you know, some Jesus and a scoop of AA and some NA and some CA because he's messed up. I mean, I was messed up. I like living under the bridge. Come on. You know you're messed up if you think the Martin Luther King lights off the water is like I'm in a vacation home. You know, living the life. But I was under there, you know, in my vacation home, and I read this thing in Job, and it's not even nothing. I don't know why it strikes a chord to me. It's not nothing that just says change your life. You know, I didn't even realize what I was reading at first, and I go back and read it all the time, and it's probably my favorite thing in the Bible, and it's just one guy. You know, it's Job. You know, Mick Lamont. Job, same thing. I love Mick and I love Job. And he's the Jobiest guy I know, and I've said that before, but it fits him, you know. But I read this thing that I don't know if it would make any difference, you know, but it did to me. So this was the key right here. Just one couple little verses. And it's Job talking to his friends who are saying that he did something wrong. And Job, he hates his life. You know, God let the devil tempt him. He let the devil hurt him. And he knew Job wouldn't fold. You know, he knew that he would still proclaim the goodness of the Lord. And so I read this, and he's talking to his friends, and he says, in Job 9:5, he moves mountains without their knowing it. He overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth from its place. He makes pillars tremble. He speaks to the sun, and it does not shine. He seals off the light of the stars. He alone stretches out the heaven. He treads on the waves of the sea. He is the maker of the Bear and Orion, and the Pleiades in the constellations of the south. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, and miracles that can't be counted. When he passes by me, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive him. If he snatches me away, who can stop him? Who can say to God, what are you doing? And for some reason, I just started bawling after that. And I realized it's true, you know. And the crazy thing is, it's all true. You know, he can do whatever he wants. If he can change a person like me to what I do today and to all the things that have happened in the past 2 years of my life, which are amazing to me. I lived 46 years the low road, and I never accomplished anything because I was living in the past and in the future the whole time. I was poor me, the victim, because I was abused when I was 11 years old. You know, I was verbally, mentally abused, physically abused, and I lived in that. Everything I did, that was my excuse. I was an abused child. Poor me. Lyle says it all the time. You know, you got to give up the past someday. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to over a year in recovery. And I think I came here one day and Lyle was talking about forgiveness. And which is, there's so many. And you know, God gave me the Lyle in my life to learn that story about forgiveness. And I forgave the guy that I blamed for everything I ever did. And that's when the miracle started actually happening in my life. I started praying for him, and I asked God to strike everything he'd ever did for me, because we're going in front of God. And when he gets to what he did to Toby, it's going to be blank, because that's what God does for us. You know, when we go up there and Jesus says, hey, I got this for him. You know, Toby didn't do nothing. I got this. I already carried all that weight, you know, which is awesome and a relief, because I wanted it and it freed me, you know, because I lived in the past, but I had grandeur of the future. You know, I was going to have a Lamborghini or something sweet, you know. I don't know how you get a Lamborghini under a bridge, but it probably had to be four-wheel drive. But I realized that, and it all started with reading that and coming here. You know, I can't believe I've been coming here since 2017, and it's been great. You know, and I've been missing in action a few times because I didn't get sober in 2017. I was here 6 months, maybe 9 months, and then I disappeared. And then I was back for 5 months and disappeared. And then I came back, and I'm not leaving, you know. At least not of my plans, you know. But God's going to call me someday. I don't know what it is. I think I know what it is because I'm crazy. God told me I was going to live as long as his son did on this earth, so I had 33 years left. So I have no reason I can't get on a plane if I'm still going to live for 30 years. But it could be true. I don't know. You know, I used to hear the calling of God all the time, and I still do. I've been busy. I've not been being still. and I'm probably close to in danger, you know, because I've been lacking on what I'm supposed to do. So I know that if I want to stay recovered, I need to get back on it. I do my prayers, but I don't. I used to do my prayers, and then I would read two books, and then I would read two more books, and then I would go in the room, and I would shut the door, and I would meditate and listen to what God was telling me about what I just read, and I have not been doing that lately. So it's probably good that I'm up here, because now that I realize that I need to, you know, I need to actually go through with it. I need to start doing that thing that set me on this path, you know, because it's an awesome path. You know, I live in peace. Being sober, I live in peace, and, you know, he's called the Prince of Peace, and he gives that to everyone who gets with him, you know, and it's sweet. That's the best part of the whole deal, almost, to me, besides the life for eternity with him, you know, that having that peace while I'm here, you know, because I'm not going to be here forever, and I love the things he's blessing with me. You know, he's given me everything I need and a bunch of stuff I just want. You know, and he's given me the skills to keep it. Because I've had some stuff I wanted before, but I gave that stuff away, you know, to my dealer, to my girlfriends, you know. I'm sure we've all had a lot of stuff and lost it, you know. They don't save your stuff when you're in jail for a year. Not much of it, you know. And you can't take much under your luxury apartment under the bridge. That peace and the fact, the peace started with the fact that I don't tell any lies anymore. That's the refreshing thing for me in recovery, that they teach you one thing, that you don't have to lie anymore. You know, as long as you're doing the right thing, I have no worries. I don't have to, you know, worry about what he's going to say to my girlfriend, or what my girlfriend's going to say to somebody else, or what my mom's going to say, because they're all on the same page. They know what I'm up to at all times. You know, sometimes it's a delayed text, but they know I'm somewhere safe now. You know, I was a worry before. Like, they didn't know if I would, they'd be getting a call from the coroner's office, you know, what I'd do that time, or if I'd be in jail for murder, because I was a very angry person when I was out there. You know, I was probably, I don't know, I've seen people get angry, and I was like, what was that? Did somebody sneeze? You know, that's how mad I was. I was so angry at everything. Probably most of it was God, because I was consumed with thinking it was his fault that I was in the position I was in, you know. And most of it was because I didn't ask to be born. You know, I had that victimization. I didn't even ask to be born. This is all God's fault. He's out to get me. And the cops are out for me. And the judges hate me. And, you know, I was an all-around victim. I never did anything. It was my fault. It was always somebody else's fault. You know, I thought God was out to get me. And he was. He was out to get me. He was out to get me to turn around and look at him. You know, I was running from him and blaming him. And he's like, hey, where are you going? Why do you keep blaming me for stuff? And now I know that, and now I'm so glad that I know that, you know. In the past 2 years, all them lies I've told have been coming true, you know. About 2 years ago, I actually graduated high school, and that was the weirdest thing. because somehow I butt-dialed the high school equivalency thing. I was like, I guess I'm supposed to go to school. Hello. And they're like, yeah, come up. You know, I said, what do I got to do? I said, I guess Jesus called you for me. And she's like, really? I said, I didn't call you and I'm talking to you. So I said, so what's up? How do I go about getting my HSE? And she said, well, if you come up today at 4:00, we can enroll you and you can start classes immediately. They'll be done at 7:00. So I went there. And that's how God worked in my life, you know, because I was in conscious contact with him. I was always hanging out with him. He was probably my only friend back then. You know, the only one that truly cared about me. He gave his life for me, you know, which is crazy. Because if you think, you know, a couple of us might give our lives for somebody else, but would we do it for strangers? Would we do it for somebody bad? like, that guy is a horrible person, but I'm going to jump in front of a gun for him. Not many of us would do it. And God did it for each and every one of us, you know. He didn't do it just for me. He didn't just do it for Jose or that dude. He did it for every one of us. Every one of us wretched sinners, you know, and he knew it. He knew why he did it, because he knew we were going to someday do something great for his name, hopefully. You know, that's what I want to do. I want to do something good for his name, and I hope some of it's my testimony. You know, if you have ever been under the Wells Street Bridge and seen where I used to stay and see the difference in my life, all the good thing that's happened to me, all the relationships restored, you know, there's still a couple that are on rough grounds, but, you know, in recovery, I learned that I can't have expectations for the things I've done in my past. You know, if I try not to say I'm sorry to anybody, because they've already heard that. You know, I don't know how many times I've said I'm sorry to some people. My mom's heard it so much that, you know, she can predict it's coming. And I didn't say I was sorry to her this time. I just told her my situation, and she said, "I'm glad you finally got with Jesus, because that's what we've been praying for." Everybody at my work, everybody at my church, we've all been praying for you. And that's the reason I'm here, is because other people's prayers. I've never made this prayer, you know. I might have told a lie about making a prayer before, but not the one that actually got me in here, you know. I figured I was going to die young and leave a good-looking corpse, and now I'm too old to do that. You know?
Amen.
You know, so I guess I'll just get with God and try to listen to him. There's something I wanted somebody to read out of the Bible, because I'm not very good at reading. I ain't too good at reading. And so Rochelle, or anybody that's got a Bible, could you read Matthew 18, 12 and through 14?
What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that he had wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing to let any one of these little ones should be lost.
So that story, that's the story of me, that's the story of Jose, Alejandro, everybody in here has that story. God left. He left all the ones that were good enough, you know, to come get us, you know, the sinners. He come and dragged us back home, you know, and all we got to do is watch for him, ask for him, you know, pray to him and surrender to him, you know, and I like that verse so much. That's what my license plate says. It says, left the 99. And hopefully I can get it for my bike, too. You know? I don't know. I like that story, you know? And it's a good opener, because a lot of people try to read license plates. I do that when we travel. We'll be like, what's that license plate say? And figure it out. And if we can't, we'll yell at them. And maybe I'll get to tell somebody the story of the 99, you know? Some random person on the street that just wants to ask about a license plate, and maybe that'll do something. Maybe it's a little seed, bink, and then God can water that thing, you know, and then maybe someday they'll have a license plate that said something else. All the really good stuff was taken, though, you know. It's hard to get a license plate with a Jesus message on it, because there's so many people that have them on their cars because they want to recognize the only reason they have that car is probably because of Jesus Christ. You know, that's just one of several blessings that God gives us. I haven't had a license since I was 17, and I got my license this, you know, within these last 2 years, you know. Never had a decent car. I've never had anything, you know. And the stuff I have is a blessing from God, and it was the best blessing, you know. It's not as good as a blessing of his salvation for my life, but he tries to make me happy while I'm here on this place, you know, in this testing ground. That's what this place is, this blue planet. It's a big testing ground, you know. And when one of us, bad people, sinners, turns our lives around, you know, they have a big old celebration up in heaven. Every time one of us asks for Jesus Christ to come into our lives and to forgive us of our sins. They party down up there. I probably got like when party favors, you know, stuff like that. Maybe some really good ones. I think God's hooked up. He's probably got the good ones, the real loud ones. And it's part of his recovery. Sobriety is a lot of things, and it does not mean that you just don't do drinking and drugs. Sobriety is a lifestyle. It's a total change of who you were. Because if you have a drunken horse thief and you sober him up, what do you got? You still got a horse thief. So if you get right in sobriety, you know, if you ask God for help, then you'll be no longer either one, you know. And hopefully it'll last your whole day. They call it recovery, and you don't know when you recover. It's when they put that dirt on you, you know. And if you've made it that whole time without drinking or drugging, and you've recovered, you know. I'll always be in recovery. There's always things that I'm going to have to do. There's always people that I got to hang out and talk to. You know, I always got to be right with, you know, I can't get right with God. He can get me right as he can. It's progress, not perfection. There's not one of us that's going to be perfect. There was only one that was perfect. And he jumped up on the cross to save us all. You know, and I'm glad he did. Because if you look at the Old Testament, woo, it was hard to get into heaven. I don't think any one of them made it. You know, a couple maybe. But there was a lot of instructions, you know. And God made it easy for us. He sent his son to bridge the gap, you know. And he made it to where it's real easy. You just got to, you know, believe that he died for your sins and that he rose again. He ascended to heaven to the right side of the Father. And now he's our witness, you know. When I get up there, he's going to tell the story of... Hopefully he says that I'm a good and humble servant, you know. And it's hard for me to be humble because I'm braggadocious and I'm kind of prideful, you know. And hopefully I brag more about God, you know, when I say I have stuff. It's only because of God I have anything. You know, it's only because of God I'm standing up here breathing. He breathed some breath into me when I was getting knitted in my mom's womb, you know, like each and every one of us. He knows us all. He knows every hair that falls out of our head. Lately, for me, it's been a lot of them. I don't know why. But so if you guys want, you know, to live the good life and to actually experience the blessings that God wants to give you, he has everything you need. And more, and it's a really easy step. You just got to do the salvation prayer, you know, get with somebody, and they'll hook you up, you know. They'll teach you what you got to do. You know, he's the bread of life. You will have to thirst no more once you come with Jesus. So I think I'm going to wrap it up.